Okay, welcome back. 10 minutes gone past five. I like any conversation that is about food. But the thing about this particular conversation is not necessarily about already made food, because yeah, the conversation about food that makes me happy is that conversation about food that's already prepared. the table prepared in the presence of your enemies. It's not food that has not been cooked. But this conversation is about food that you will cook, food that you will buy, food that you need to have so that you can now prepare it to your taste. All right. So let's talk about attaining food security in River State. Now, River State is that state that has been known for so long as an oil-producing state. And all the attention, everybody that looks at River State, even the governors themselves, you know, everybody's looking to the oil. And it's looking as though this is the one aspect of, production that this state can boast of. But then there are other aspects of production that River State can boast of. Food, fishing, Gary. I mean, I've had conversations about food before, and I've heard people talk about the Ikwere Gary. They talk about it like it's the best thing after sliced bread, you know, for those who like bread. Ikwere Gary, right? And then recently we heard from the Owakiri people how they are proudly talking about their groundnuts. So there is actually other forms of production in this state. And food is an essential aspect of life. Oh, yes. You can't live if you don't have food to eat. When Jesus was talking about bread, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. So bread is important. Food is important. But then, the problem with this aspect of production in this state, like the fishing and the farming that I've talked about, is that they are actually threatened by oil spills, flooding, and insecurity. And of course, recently in the news, following the looming floods in the state, some farmers say they are beginning to harvest their crops prematurely. That's a very sad thing to hear. When you are harvest your crops prematurely, what's the plan for the next season? I also mentioned this one when I started the show earlier today. At some point, some women were abducted from their farms. I can't even remember if ransom was paid for them to be released. But there are other places in this same state where people cannot go to their farms still because of insecurity. So how can we get to that level of food security if the one way that food can actually be produced is being threatened? So what can the local government do? I don't want to say the state government. We have the local government. So they are more like our focus for today. Okay? And other people within those communities where food security or food is actually produced. All right, joining us for this conversation is Professor Adesokpe Olufemi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Constance. Thank you, Leos, for the listeners.
Okay. So just to let you know, you can join the conversation as well. Get on Facebook, Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. You can also send a message via WhatsApp to 0809-030-6416. I've asked a question, so I would like to hear from you. How can local governments ensure food security in the state amid the flooding, the oil spills, and maybe oil fire and insecurity? All right. So for my guest now, let's talk about the very first issue that I've mentioned, the part where some people are harvesting their crops prematurely because of the floods that, has been predicted to ravage some parts of the state. First of all, as someone who is in that sector of agriculture, although you lecture, What would be your first response to, just hearing that people are now harvesting crops prematurely? What's your response to that?
All right, thank you very much for this. Apart from the fact that I lecture, I also go to the field.
Right.
As a lecturer, apart from teaching, we carry out researches, and also are involved in community services. So that's actually the community service component of our job also. And I'm also an agri-extensionist, which means I have contact with farmers and the grassroots and ultimately the end users of agricultural products.
Oh.
Well, to answer you right away, the era we are in now, I think we must first of all promote agriculture. I think emphasis is on local government, so I don't want to go into the federal and the state. The local government has what I call interesting rapport with those at that level, the farmers at the local level. So we must support agriculture. We must provide extension services. It is lacking. In every extension, in every community or village, we are normally supposed to have extension agents who should have one-on-one contact with farmers. We do not have them there again for so many obvious reasons. So now the issue of people going to harvest prematurely, it's unfortunate. Natural disasters are going to occur from time to time. So that I think one thing we must do at this point in time is promoting agriculture and educating those at the grassroots. We must let them appreciate the progress. Early planting is something they have to imbibe now. Interestingly, recently, the artificial intelligence has come to stay. And we can also use digital devices to predict when the flood will be there. So extension services have a special role to play. We need to promote agriculture beyond what we are doing currently. So farmers will need to be educated to plant early. Like I've said, it's a natural disaster. And there's little you can do about it. There are alternative ways. Unfortunately, they may not give us to the extent of food we need to get, but we have to survive. So the small-scale farmers are the ones feeding us, and majorly they are women and children. They're the ones feeding the nation. So there's need to give them that sensitization on how alternative ways of survival. There's the concept of compound farming. We need to really talk about it. Vertical farming, if you like. Backyard farming, if you like. Farming within the confines of your environment. Now, distant farming will still remain, no doubt, but unfortunately, the issue of insecurity, the issue of flooding now, there are areas that are not actually affected by flooding. So, local government should also think of emergency food reserves. It is very critical.
Did you say emergency food reserve?
Emergency food reserves, yes. So that we need to plan ahead. The food reserves will help ensure availability of food, especially during disasters like flood. You know, there's need to have food banks in upland areas. And I think it's the responsibility of local government to do such a thing for their people.
Interesting. Now, let's talk about what Obakiri people have brought to, should I say, my knowledge, because I'm sure that a lot of people actually knew about this before now, but when I saw the reports, I felt like, wow, this is incredible. So they have their groundnuts, and from the story so far, it's like the best in the country. Anybody can argue if they want to, okay? But these people are saying that, yeah, in as much as they are doing well in that regard, planting their groundnuts, and not even any oil issue is affecting them. They're still farming fine. It's only the fishermen over there that are complaining, but they're also calling on the government to help them. More like, yes, we have this going, we have this happening, but we need government to, you know, and also collaborate with us so that we can produce more than what we already have on ground. So here's my question. If something like this is ongoing and it's taking them now coming to ask for government intervention, how come? Is it that the government or the local government's chairman in charge of that area is not aware of what is going on there, of such fine produce they have?
I think it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of priority.
It is
the local government's priority, definitely. Like I said when I started, it is their responsibility because they are at the grassroots level, the top tier of government. They are closer to the people. I was so excited when I heard in your news also about this about groundnuts and all. It's interesting, you know, there are categories of crops we call orphan crops. Mm. Orphan crops are crops that have been traditionally consumed and cultivated, but in recent times received less attention by researchers, by policymakers. So I think groundnut in Obakri is one of such orphan crops. You know, an orphan is somebody who has lost his parents.
Yeah.
So that's the metaphor around it. Now we have Bambara nuts also. There are many things we can do with some of these crops. The vegetables. There are several vegetables that are available here in River State that we are not even super consuming, but amongst the category of orphan crops, actually the common parlance is neglected and underutilized crops. So it is the responsibility of the government, especially the local government, not like they are not aware, but I think they need to rearrange their priorities so that people can get enough. Again, it boils down to priorities.
All right, so coming to this issue of flooding, I mean, there's been a lot around intervention, although people are saying that whatever it is they're doing right now, it came late. They should have done this since last year in preparation for the floods. But we actually do not specifically see plans for storing up food. I mean, you've talked about some kind of food reserves.
Yeah,
so we have the government pushing for how to ensure that, you know, the floods do not come and destroy people's homes and properties and all that. But then what happens with food? How come we do not have our government paying attention to that as much? So you've said it boils down to priority. Do we need the oil to dry up so that we will understand how much we need to focus on agriculture?
Well, maybe not. You know, when you have so many alternatives, in economy, they talk about choices, wants, and all of that. When you have too many alternatives, you take things for granted. That's the nature of man. But I want to believe it's obviously because there are perceived alternatives. If there are no alternatives, definitely everybody will face agriculture. Because that's the highest producer of labor. You know, all over the country, we are aware of that. So, again, it boils down to priority. But then, one thing we must understand, we don't have to wait for government. We should know, again, that government alone cannot do all of this.
Yeah.
Farmers traditionally have been doing all they needed to do. If the issue of flooding is a natural thing, but I know that even NEMAT, early part of this year, they started warning. Now, this is where extension agents would come in. You know, handbills, flyers, installation activities to farmers to let them know what to do. If you are planning in this season, start early. You can harvest earlier than you should. And there are crops, actually, maybe farmers, again, are not aware, it boils down to extension activities, inadequacy of it, that there are flood-resistant crops. We can, you know, promote things like that. Research is ongoing. It's a dynamic process. Crop diversification. You know, gone are the days where we insist on monocropping or so cropping. When there's any disease infection or pest infestation, it wipes out everything. So now, part of the climate smart agricultural practices is to diversify the crops, grow several crops at the same time, so that when there's an invasion, disease invasion or infection, it may not wipe out the entire thing. There are certain crops that are resistant to certain diseases. There are certain crops that are resistant to infestation by certain pests. So advising farmers to diversify in their crop production is very, very critical at times like this.
Yeah.
Also, crop rotation.
Okay, Prof, can you hold on? We need to go on a commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up.
And now, Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, so welcome back. So we're still talking about attaining food security in River State amid the looming floods and, of course, oil spills and insecurity. Now, just to have you understand food security, simply put, the state of having reliable access to a sufficient quantity of affordable, nutritious food. Well, of course, Professor Adeshokwe is still with me. So before we went on that break, we were talking about, you mentioned the fact that the government has not really placed priority on agriculture, and that's why we are where we are. So it reminds me now of something that the government did some years ago, and all of a sudden it became an abandoned project. The banana farm that was set up, and it was more like, it looked like the biggest thing, you know, and the best move ever, you know, of government. But then, what can we say of that farm today? 2,000 hectares of banana farm, and we can't even talk about it today. So it's not as though government does not realize that there is need for agriculture. So that's just one, all right? There are some other projects that previous administration did, and they left it halfway. So what exactly is the issue here? So you've said perhaps we should not leave everything to government.
Yeah.
The people should take up the responsibility. So how can the people now come in? All right, looking at those of them, especially where the farmers live in the communities, what can they do if the state governments, their local governments, you know, leadership, they're not really showing concern that much in that regard? So what can they do?
It's a high-headed step. Well, the thing is, we need to now look inwards. We have community-based organizations, we have non-governmental organizations who are actually making some meaningful efforts to help this category of persons, our farmers at the grassroots. So I think it behooves on farmers to form themselves into groups, because there's power in unity. It's easier to work with people in groups than individuals. That's one way to go. So like I said, we all have to look inwards, meaning the tertiary institutions, the secondary institutions, all need to come together, you know, holistically, see how we can produce, you know, a multifaceted approach now is desirable. At the university level, we have extension outreaches or outreach programs, if you like, which is just an ambit of the community service or services that we carry out. So it takes now concerted efforts. And at the university level, we try to pursue grants, international donor grants, which a few persons get because it's highly competitive. And through this grant, we are able to support this category of persons at the grassroots. It may not be so much, but at least it's making some headway somehow. So I think the farmers need to first form themselves into groups. Unfortunately, again, the extension agents who are supposed to be living even in the communities, the agricultural development programs, since the World Bank withdrew their support way back in the 70s, 80s, it leaves much to be desired. But extension agents will have done better there. But like I said, we just have to help ourselves. There's also the self-help approach. So universities have to help. Community-based organizations are there to help. Non-governmental organizations are there to also help. But again, it would make more sense if government shows commitment, because individuals and community-based organizations are trying to support. But you know, the man who makes the policy, it's like he who pays the piper, the team. So if there's a policy, you know, to enhance these activities, it will go a long way to make things better. So cooperative farming associations are needful.
Okay.
Times like this.
All right. So still talking about what the communities can do. So this brings me to another aspect of, you know, some of the issues that still stem from such communities, like the banana farm I mentioned. Now, when the state governments under the former administration of Rotimi Amaechi set that up, the plan was for it to for them to be able to market even these bananas locally and internationally. Now, one of the problems that came up from this particular move was the fact that the people there began to feel like the government should compensate them in some form of way. Now, the people had been, engaged to work there. But then this issue of compensation and some other allegations of, they're using this as a means to do something else. In fact, they're hiding under this for some kind of oil exploration. Now, we see even this kind of issues come up, even in issues like constructing roads, right? Someone, a good-spirited individual, can just choose to, let me fix this road in my community, and they're asking for compensation for something that will benefit everybody. So this now brings me to what form of education or enlightenment should be taken to perhaps the traditional rulers to get them to help their people understand that when something is being done in your domain, is actually to help you as well, and it is helping you.
Well, the issue about corporate social responsibility can never be overemphasized. And one of the top rules of agricultural extension, which is within the ambit of what we're talking about now, is to start from where the people are. You know, many times government does not do needs assessment. Well, we hear so much about EIAs, SIAs, and things like that, environmental impact assessment, social impact assessment. In agriculture, it's also very needful. You need to know what they need. You need to know their wants. You know, there's need for institutional analysis of what exists, where they ought to be, what they actually need. You know, at the formative stage, right before you embark on projects like that, there's need to interface with these people. Many times, government politicizes some of these things. So if you don't do a proper needs assessment, certain persons may not feel very comfortable, even inside their community members. So if people are not carried along, you know, it's going to be an issue. And I think that's particularly what the situation is like. A few persons may have been informed, no doubt. Maybe those who had the land, you know, they used, and then who compensated those persons. And then when you find out that they gave this position, I will not all members of this community, it causes a lot of trouble. So, there's again, it boils down to the awareness and sensitization. Legitimization is a function of carrying every person along. You know, so, and if you don't do that, this is, we'll still keep going around this circle.
You know, one thing that really surprises me in River State is the fact that plantain is very expensive. It shocks me, really. I expect that, I should be able to buy a plantain like 50 naira. Somebody will be like, Constance, are you okay? Yes, this is River State. It's expected. Yeah. It's we have many mangrove swamps here. But then you go to the market, it's so expensive.
Unfortunately.
Very unfortunate, really. Okay, well, Prof, I think I'm going to have to let you go. You have something else you want to go and do.
Thanks a lot.
All right. So thank you very much for being on the show this evening.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
All right. Okay, so Professor Olufemi Adesokpe, he is a university lecturer with the University of Port Harcourt, and, of course, he's got lectures and all whatnot to handle. Thank you very much once again. So let me get to you now, who's been listening. So the question I asked before now, and I'm still asking, is how can local governments ensure that there is food security in this state, even in the face of the flood, the oil spills, insecurity, and all whatnot? What can they do? You are from some of these communities. You've lived in this city or in this town for a very long time. You've heard things, you've experienced things, you've seen things. Yeah? Now, some of you are farmers as well, and there are things that perhaps you think that, if my local government's chairman would just know that this is what we are doing and get involved, it will be better for everybody. What do you think can be done? Since everybody is sitting and I'm waiting for some palliative to come from the federal down to every other person, your rights, the rights of federal government is not reaching all of us. So what can be done to ensure food security? Remember, I told you before now, food security by the dictionary definition is the state of having reliable access to a sufficient quantity of affordable, nutritious food. Affordable is very important. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0007. On Facebook, when I join for 92.3 PH. For WhatsApp is 0809-030-6416. Hector is calling from Ogbogoro. Hello, Hector.
Yes, Constant.
Good evening.
I think it was Karl Marx that said that for man to think, for man to walk, man must eat. It means that man must rely on food. Now, one of the first duties of every government is to provide food. That is the food security we are talking about. Constant, you said that plantain is quite expensive in Port Harcourt.
Annoyingly expensive.
Yes. And do you also know that the garri that is produced in River City is more expensive than the garri they bring from Enugu, Delta State, and other parts of the country? It's because we are not prioritizing agriculture. We are not encouraging agriculture. The government is failing. The state and the local government, I think they are failing. Now, I suggest, just like the prophet, that government alone cannot do everything. It cannot leave all to government. So I suggest that maybe religious organizations should also look into that direction. If religious organizations, for example, can invest in education, mega universities and secondary schools, and these schools produce graduates, and at the end, the graduates will, flood the labor market in search of jobs. If churches can also invest in agriculture. Look, we have arable land in River State. From River State to Bayelsa, from River State to Abia and Kwaibo. Look at those lands.
All right,
there
Hector.
Are land. So if churches can also take advantage and go into agriculture, it will help even in terms of employment and food production.
All right, thank you very much. Hello, Muriel from Okrika.
Thank you, Constance. Constance, because I wanted to comment on your taste for music, but this matter is serious, so let me give it up for later. Now, Constance, when we talked about harvesting our plants prematurely, Constance, I wanted to ask, if these premature crops that they are bringing out are edible, would they not cause one of problems for Constance? And then your guest was talking about farmers, encouraging farmers to plant early, so that they can be able to harvest early. Constance, there are times and seasons for every plant. You cannot plant one at a time when it cannot germinate properly because of the weather, and then especially weather. So if there are fertilizers that can even boost this plant, if they are harvested early, your guys can even enlighten us on that. Now, Constance, you asked the question, how can local governments improve? I don't know how you put it, but look, Constance, if the governor can even give the local government just one mandate, ensure that the crops or the food that your local government can produce, we get it optimally, we can get it sufficiently, and fund them accordingly. And these funds should be monitored. Maybe they can be tied, attached, maybe professors in a department, the agricultural department, can be attached to the
All right, Muriel. Your line is actually breaking right now, but thank you. You've made your point. Hi, good luck from Andoni. Good evening.
Yeah, evening. My question is there anything wrong with the local government having their own farms in each of the local governments we have? Because we have 23 local governments in this state. Imagine that in three local governments, each local government has its own farm that is functioning properly. Do you think we'll be having this problem? Our local government chairman are some of the problems they are having. All what they want is just allocation, they share it, and at the end of the day, the attendance is over, they go away. This is not proper. Your guest also talk about the flood. Some of those crops that can be resistant to flood. He should have spelled out those crops and also enlightened the farmers on how to get those crops. So, to me, I think the local government needs to look for those areas that cannot be affected by flood and try and see how to establish farms so that they will go a long way to provide us food. Please.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hello, Constance.
Good evening, George.
Okay, good evening. Okay, just as the last one asked about the local government investment, I understand that the local government has set of space.
Say what?
Salary, that's why they are not investing. My suggestion is we have lots of youths wasting inside the prison. Those prisoners can be used to farm. Now we have maybe a whole that's having challenge with flood. What about Ogoni? What about Eleme lands? What about Iboeche and Eche? They can have uplands there to farm. And instead of we can look for that direction, we are more concerned about. Everybody wants to eat egg, now you want to buy egg in the supermarket, but we can have poultry farm that can supply.
Oh, your line is breaking. Okay, thank you very much, George. Thank you. I'm sure people heard what you said. I also heard part of what you said. Thank you very much. Someone called in and that was good luck. And his question is anything wrong with the local government areas having their own farmlands? You know, when he was talking, I just remembered back then in secondary school, you know, I think, do those things still exist? All these government-owned secondary schools, although they were missionary-owned, the one I went to as well, and they have their farms. In those schools, within the compound, there's a farmland, you know. So something like local governments owning farms. You can say this is a Che farm. This is Obiakpo farm. And someone can say, I work at the Obiakpo farm. What do you think? I work at Falga farm. Sounds nice. Hi, Francis from East West Road.
Yeah, my own contribution is obviously if the government do not participate in agriculture to ensure food sufficiency, the farmers will continue to labor without getting full value for what they are putting in. And agriculture will continue not to be attractive to those who have the means to go into it. I recall one day I was coming back to Portugal from Ahoda. Around Ahoda, I bought potato, a full bag of potato, for less than 1,000 naira.
Oh, wow.
I asked myself, with this farmer selling this, because he has to sell it, because he doesn't have the means of evacuating it, or bringing it to exactly where it is needed, okay? Maybe to Portugal or to the market. So that he can get value for his money. He has to sell it, but he has no other option. Okay, now, what happens with government getting involved by providing where these people can actually, how this can evacuate this product to where it is needed, or how they can save it? What is wrong with government encouraging some cottage industry that can process these products so that the farmer can get value for his labor? If he sells it cheap, he cannot buy any processed food in the market himself. But he doesn't have any option but to sell it and let it go before it will spoil. So there must be government participation at every level before this farmer can make money to be able to pay school fees and pay house rent. Or else, they can do the little they can. And all this food will be charged.
Thank you very much for calling, Francis. Enehe Shaibo on Facebook says, during the military era, local governments were very active and performed well. But since inception of democracy, they have gone into extinction and control or pocketed by state governors. Caleb Abinonye says, Most local government chairmen, says like a Bolga chairman, which stay in Port Harcourt, don't care about the people in their LGAs. Then, Oloko Confidence says most local government chairmen stay in Port Harcourt. Some of them are involved. My dear, you and your allegations. Please, can we keep the conversation to, you know, on what we're discussing? Let's stay within the ambit of the conversation. I can't take any calls right now. I have commercials in less than 1 minute. All right, so I'm just going to read this message here and then we go on a commercial break and that will be it. The news will come up. After that, I'll be back here and read the messages that I have not read. And you can also call in and react to the conversation so far. Cheesy Light from Rumokurusi Pipeline says, agriculture can't and won't regain its position in our society anymore. Again, it is the federal government that should empower the local government because it is the grassroots government. But they won't do that. Do you know why? The reason is that Nigerian government has made so much money available in politics and governance for them to use and run the government. So how will they have time for agriculture when they see it as a poor man's job? In other parts of the world where the people see governance as a window to leadership and setting of pace, government positions are not attractive. Only people with impeccable character. Anyway, it's not always the thing.